you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow Onyx Ralph Sutton, the SDR show this week. Drummer of the legendary chick band, I'll say it, the Go-Go's, comes in. Gina Schock, just a really cool girl. We had a great time with her talking all things Go-Go's. She got a little drunk with me on the air, I believe. That's what I think happened. It was just a fun night. James Mattern comes in and hangs out with us as well. And not often you get to talk to a band that has been so influential for so long on the landscape of rock and roll. Gina Schock, really cool dude. We do it every single Wednesday. Did I say dude? Gina Schock, very cool chick. We do this every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Listen where you are right now. Share it right now, maybe on the YouTube as well, or go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Soon to be gasdigital.com. Use the promo code SDR, get 20% off. Here it is right now, the Gina Schock of the Go-Go's episode of the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I beat. It's hookers and blow. It's hard, it's far. You need to know. The SDR show. Let's go.
All righty. It is the SDR show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton in studio with me, which always makes you happy, and he dressed up for the occasion.
Studio, Ralph.
Yeah, James Mattern is in the studio. Wait, what's wrong there, Shannon? Is his mic off? God damn it. We're trying to impress Gina.
Ooh, hello.
What?
Am I on? Yeah.
Someone unplugged his mic?
You're the important one, Gina.
That's fine. We'll clean it in post. We'll clean it in post. That's fine. So, James, thank you for coming in. Thank you for wearing a suit.
Yeah, just for you.
By the way, I like that Shannon is a no-nonsense woman. Comes in, fixes it, walks out. That's
she's
what
the best.
Does.
That's the way it should
the
be
way
done.
It should be
That's...
done. Anyone that works on the fucking Go-Go's tour, if they don't come in, fix it, get the fuck out.
Fix it and get out immediately.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. And doesn't say a word. Just come and fix it and leave.
Yeah, she didn't say
nothing.
Extremely efficient. Nothing to say, just do it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right, so right now, by the way, you can say rock royalty.
Absolutely.
It is
And if
wild.
You don't, you're a criminal. If and you I, don't say rock royalty.
By the way, what I would also
hey,
hate,
excuse me. I got to tell you now, it's funny you use that term. Steven Tyler told Jane and the band that you are rock royalty.
You are rock royalty.
And we were like, oh my God, if Steven Tyler said it, wow.
Then it's got to be true, right? I think that's true, right? And also, by the way, I think it's 15 years too late, finally in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well.
That was kind of neat. It's
pretty wild. We'll get into all of it.
And by the
way, you have been in my ear because not only did I listen to your entire book, which we'll talk about, I also watched the entire documentary about you guys.
Good one.
The funny thing is, when I started it, it was on St. Patrick's Day, and the first line in the documentary is Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm like, all right, this is fucking kismet for me right now.
Is that great?
Right?
Huh?
And it is none other than the drummer of the legendary Go-Go's, or I sometimes call them the Go-Go's.
Do you say that?
I was driving Shannon nuts with it. The Go-Go's. It is Gina Schock. Thank you so much for coming.
Yay! God damn it.
This is... You know, when Shannon books me, it's usually, hey, are you available at this time? And then the follow-up is usually in studio or Zoom. And so I just say yes. And then she goes, the rhythm section, the Go-Go's, Gina. And I just replied, holy shit. And I couldn't wait for this day to get
Kathy
here.
Kathy is at the airport, guys.
Yeah, Kathy was coming also with you guys.
I'll go meet her there, too.
She's very bummed. Okay. Yeah, we could do a part two.
But this is unbelievable.
Next time. Yeah. I'm happy to be here, guys.
Oh, so first, let's just discuss right off the top the Hall of Fame spiel, right? Why do you think it took 15 fucking years? I noticed, by the way, I did the math, less than 9% of inductees are women, which is insanely low.
Yeah.
And it just seems like a real slap in the face, but at least they finally brought you in. But at one point, I feel all rock stars should say, you know what? Fuck you, Hall of Fame. We're all out. We don't care anymore at some point.
Well, I'll tell you, that's exactly how we felt until it happened. I'm a sucker. I got to say, it was, you know, we all know the system and the politics behind all the decisions. Come on. You know, the first time that we were nominated for a Grammy, it was very obvious who should have won that year. And we didn't. And that was ridiculous. And, you know, we knew what was going on. And it's, you know, who's who, who's you know, blowing who and stuff like that. And but no, just
how do you think Shannon got her job?
How do you think I keep my job? Here's what's always crazy about me about that hall to me is I know little Steven Van Zandt, who we've had on the show, is one of the top guys there. And
now,
I know he loves you
guys.
But
he wasn't before, right?
Yeah. Thank God he
is. Now, okay, yeah.
Because they play
you
all the time on Underground Garage,
it
and it's wonderful.
Yeah, I love him.
But also, I'm going to say this that bothers me about it. Then I'm not, this sounds, it's going to sound racist when I start, but I will make it make sense at the end, okay?
Well, you sound like all my uncles growing up, but all right.
There's a lot of rap artists that have been inducted. Right?
Yeah.
And the reason why I have a problem with that is there is a hip hop Hall of Fame. They're never going to induct Iron Maiden. So why the fuck?
Well, they have that in common with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Rap,
too,
I didn't know there was a hip hop.
Yeah, there is. So I'm saying if there's a hip hop Hall of Fame and a Rock Hall of Fame, there's a Metal Hall of Fame. If there's one of all, then
it should be
a Music Hall of Fame, and that's that is
it
what I
feel. It should encompass all genres of music because music is music, and it appeals to whoever it does. But you know. All the different genres cover everybody.
Yeah, I that's how it should
be. It's inclusive. Everybody's included.
That's why I say it should be one or the other. Either we're doing just a fucking Music Hall of Fame, or you segment
maybe,
it.
You know what? We should do something about that.
Let's get on this together.
I'm serious.
I agree with you.
I mean, I'm not joking because that is, I've had conversations about this many times. And about the rap thing and like Dolly Parton, you know, all that country. Do we have so? But it's just music, and that's what it should be. The name needs to be changed.
I think it's the spirit, rock and roll. It means like
it is. It's like it's
how
like
punk
everything.
Is loose now,
right? It's everything.
Yeah, all encompassing.
It's all yes.
It is funny
it's
also
from
now.
Blues.
Who was the punk artist that we had when they came early? I'm like, well, what's punk now? Now like showing up on time is punk. Like there's not you know the idea. Of, I forget who that was. It might have been Bad Religion. I'm not sure, but
it was great.
You guys were such fucking, I hate to say the term chicks, but such badass chicks. Like, we barely play our instruments. You were one of the, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the only person who actually played the instrument they were supposed to play. Because, like, Kathy was a guitarist who became a bass player. So you were like, and the other, Jane didn't know, Belinda didn't, you know, no one did. But you're the only one that's like, all right, I've had drum background.
Yeah.
And now I'm the drummer. That's the only, you were the only one. Is that fair?
That is true. And, it was just sort of the chemistry, it was magic, you know? I mean, considering everybody came from all different sorts of, I mean, the music that I listened to was much different than the music that Jane or Charlotte or Belinda listened to or Kathy, as Kathy came in last, obviously. But, you know, how do we all find each other? It's crazy. I drove across country. I didn't know anybody.
I love the line you said, 2 grand and 2 grams of coke and drove across country. It's
great. Yeah, that's pretty rock and roll.
That is fucking rock and roll as shit.
You should have been in the Hall of Fame on that comment alone.
I mean, I was in Baltimore. I was playing. I mean, I knew if you've read the book.
I listened
to the audiobook.
So I didn't see any of the pictures, but I did listen.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man.
I know. What do you want? Look.
Pause the show. Go look at the goddamn pictures.
I will say this.
Raph, it was supposed to be just a photo book.
I know, but
the text came later. I it's all about the photos, man.
I mean, look, I did some due diligence, for God's sake.
You did. God damn it. You should have told me I got the books here. I had the fucking books, guys.
You were in my ear.
Are we allowed to cuss?
Yes, well.
If you don't cuss, we'll be upset. You're rock royalty, Gina.
But just something, I love also the fact that you guys, like you said, I forget who said it in the doc, but like, the worse you were as a band in the beginning in that punk scene, and you just went up and didn't give a fuck, it gave you more street cred as like you were really punk because you didn't fucking care.
No.
I love that.
It was just like getting together. See, I was so serious about what I was doing. And the first time I saw them, when I first got to LA, the guy I was with, living at his place, Steve, he was like, I want you to go see this band. You're going to get this drummer, kick the drummer out, and you're going to make him famous. And I was like, okay, let's go. So they took me to Steve and a couple of his friends took me to see the band. And they had only been together for like 6 months or something. And they were pretty funny. They were having a great time on stage, interacting with the audience. It was a blast. It was like a party. I was like, this is what I'm missing. This is what I want. I'm too serious about what I do. And then we met at a party, and I invited him over to Steve's house where I had my drums set up in a PA system, everything. We played one song, and we just looked at each other, and that was it.
That's so fucking cool.
You knew
cool.
it. You knew it was going to happen.
And it's also funny, in your book, Steve Martin is the person you're talking about, but
not the Steve Martin,
but also the Steve Martin is also in the book because of Paul Reubens.
Yes, but the Steve Martin that my Steve yeah. Martin is, and his brother Doug, they're redhead identical twins, right. yeah. and they were in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Right, that's fucking cool as shit.
They're in the diner scene where they're arguing. It's two redheaded twins arguing.
Yeah,
they were also in Hudsucker Proxy. They've been in a bunch of films because they're identical twins.
That's really wild. And also the thing.
And I'm sorry, excuse
no,
me.
Please, go
ahead. But also Steve's also Doug has done videos and is an incredible graphic artist. And then Steve he did a movie called Theremin. He did about Mr. Theremin.
Oh, there they go. And look at it.
There you go.
Could you tell them apart? No way.
Yes, I can.
All right, who's
which
Steve?
One's Steve?
Steve's on the right, Doug's on the left.
Oh, damn, okay. I bet I would have bet on the left.
But I would say, that's do you cool. know that because you know the scene or you see
no,
them?
I know them.
Okay, but still.
They were like, you
how
know.
How dare you?
They were so both so good to me. No, I came out there. I didn't know what the heck was going on. And they were guiding me and
that's
making
awesome.
Sure I was taken care of.
And here's the thing that's wild about that. So you guys basically get together, like the actual genesis of the lineup we all know was around 79, right? And from 79 to 81, it's just 2 years. And in those two years,
wow.
only
yeah.
to for say a band, it's only to get 2 years. And then in 2 years, you're then the Go-Go's. Like it wasn't like, oh, the Go-Go's are playing. Then it was, oh my God, the Go-Go's are playing. Like that, in just 2 years, I don't think that ever fucking happens.
Yeah, it sounds pretty, it's relatively quick the way that happened.
Right, it is crazy.
But yeah, it was, everything fell into place in this incredible way, magical way. I always use that word magical, you know, when I think of the band because it's been that.
Right.
I just can't believe how things have fallen in line and just worked beautifully. It still knocks me out. I'm just like I'm so grateful. I'm like in a constant state of being grateful for everything because it's all worked out so beautifully.
I have to ask
and you being a fucking asshole, you know, all the way along. And, no, I'm just kidding. But no, you know what I mean?
No, please.
We got away with all kind of stuff.
You mentioned it's one off the cuff line in the doc that you don't ever address again, but you said, oh, Jane was cute, so then we started dating. How long did you and Jane date?
Oh, it was just, I don't know, a month maybe or something like that. That was kind of drunken. Well, I love Jane to death. I love all the girls, honestly. I don't like them a lot of the time, but I love them.
Oh, that's
and I think
fun.
I think how that started was we were at the Hong Kong Cafe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were in the bathroom and started making out in the bathroom.
That's
yeah.
cool. Is that in 79, like early on?
79, yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
Cool
I was
shit.
Just there. She totally took advantage of me.
Had you ever been with a girl at that point? Had you ever been with a girl? Because you were younger.
Yes, I had.
Okay.
I had, but not
cool.
a lot of anything,
right.
really. You know, I gotta say this is gonna sound really queer, but I mean, really, you guys, my main focus was all about music. That's
sure.
all.
Right.
I swear to God, I didn't give a shit about dating, or seeing anybody or anything. All I wanted to do was be a rock star.
Yeah, it's just so fucking cool. It is really wild. And then, what's funny with Jane? On a side note, she went. You know, they all had like different solo careers, but I was
a
nightclub promoter in, I want to say it was like 85. Right? Maybe 86. I was 15, 16, something like that. And Jane's first like solo show was at the Palladium in New York City. And I was the promoter of that show
way.
At 16 years old. Yeah, that's wild, right? And I had flyer. I still had the flyer up until a few years ago.
Oh, you should have. Yeah.
When I moved,
what the heck?
I moved and somehow I lost it when I moved. But that's.
Oh, my God. Yeah, wait till you should see this Comic-Con stuff. You ought to see the stuff I brought. I'm not a hoarder, you guys, but I save everything.
Well, I think that's the very definition of a hoarder, by the way.
Okay.
Wait a minute, that's up there with this. It might sound racist, but I promise you it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, right. No, everything is in its place. It's all put away. It's all, you know, I have everything numbered and alphabetical order. I mean, I am really good about that. And I saved like every laminate pass, every tour pass from every tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I have tickets from every show I've ever gone to.
That's great.
Well,
that's
you saw
great.
In the book, my first ticket, Zeppelin. And
yeah,
then,
by the way,
we save everything.
Yeah, it ruined when I listened to the book. I'm like, oh, because we ask everyone at the end of the show about their first concert. And I know already because I listened to the book.
And I'll play dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It is wild. And you know who's great with that also? Not to keep name dropping, but the guitarist of Twisted Sister, JJ French, right? He has every show he's ever been. Like, he showed me Led Zeppelin as an opener at Fillmore East.
You know,
it's fucking crazy that he has all those things.
Oh, my God. I need to hang out with him.
Yeah, it's wild. Well, I lost my spot already. I don't get to hang out there
anymore. You're bumped already,
baby. I'm bumped.
Oh, God. No. But I love that. I love it. Yeah. I mean, the history of my history even just, it fascinates me that I am that person.
It is wild to listen.
It blows my mind,
like,
you're
talking in the book about how much you loved Bowie, and then you get to go hang out with Bowie. Like, things like that.
A couple times.
Pretty wild. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, it just... It really kind of just makes you very grateful that you're still breathing, that you like were able, you were in the right place at the right time to meet, you know, one of your heroes. And he was big in my life growing up, really big.
I mean, anybody
he
over the
large,
age of 30, I feel.
Still.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
He's been gone 7 years,
yeah,
and he's still massive.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
still see
oh,
Bowie
my,
shirts everywhere.
Just every...
Kids were like embryos, talk about how Bowie changed their life. It's amazing.
It's funny because Miles Copeland, who
yeah,
obviously was
Miles.
Very influential. You had your first big major tour
yeah.
was with the Police. And we had Stuart Copeland on the show. And I didn't make the connection until you say it in the book, because Miles had IRS. The other brother had FBI.
Yeah, that's Ian.
Ian, and then he has the Police. And I never made the connection. The Police, IRS, and FBI.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's adorable. And I never fucking knew that until you said it in the book.
Yeah.
And I never made that connection.
Yeah. Miles, what an interesting guy. I called him Mr. Personality because he was everything, but he didn't have much of a personality. He was kind of, he was very dry. Very dry. I love him, though.
Miles and Stuart also had issues for a long time. They
didn't talk for years,
Yeah, they didn't talk for years, and then they made up.
Yeah. Miles wasn't the easiest person. Neither is Stuart. They're both hard heads, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian,
I think Sting would say the same as well.
You know, Ian was exactly the opposite of both of his brothers. He was really easygoing. He liked to smoke pot. He liked to hang out. He was a really super cool guy. And I can't believe he's gone, but yeah. So yeah, we were in bed with the Copelands.
That's cool shit. Yeah, we had it was fascinating. We had Stuart on. It was great to have him on. But to go back earlier, I don't think this shit happens anymore now, where a band sees you playing and like, oh, we like these guys, even though they have no hits, they don't have any following in Europe because there is no internet back then. Let's just bring them out on tour because they're cool. And that was Madness and the Specials.
Yeah.
And that is fucking cool as shit that they just, I doubt that ever happens. And now you look at, well, how many Instagram followers do they have? How many tickets are they going to sell us?
Kind of
not
pose.
Just, oh, is it good music or are they a cool band? Let's bring them out.
At that point, you guys, we were the house band at the Whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever was headlining, we would open for. And when Madness came to town, of course, you know, we were in love with them. And of course, that first album was just great. One Step Beyond. Oh, my God. We were so excited to be opening for them. And we all, of course, got English boyfriends the first night. And, you know, we were in love. And so they went back and told the Specials about us. And so when they came over, we opened for them. Then they both went back, talked to management, and let's bring them over and they'll open for us on our tour here.
And it was a real trial by fire. I mean, apparently those ska audiences don't want to hear chicks singing rock and roll.
No, they weren't. They hated us. We went over there thinking, oh my God, in Britain we're gonna be, you know, rock stars over there because they're way ahead musically, you know, and they're gonna love us. And they did not like us at all. Every night I felt most bad for Belinda because she would walk off stage and she literally would have like
spit all over
her.
Because
they were still gobbing then.
Yeah, no, they were.
By the way, if Shannon fucks up production, she walks out with gobs of spit on her.
Oh,
I get pissed off at her.
Still?
Yeah. That's a tough love around here.
Yeah.
But that's great. And that also probably, I would imagine, brought you guys together as a fucking band against the world.
Oh my God. Yeah. That was yet another time in our career together that we were, it was us against the world because we were like fighting for our lives every night, beer bottles flying past your face. And,
crazy. At least you had the rest of the band to protect you.
Well,
in the back.
But you know what? And when we'd walk off stage, the guys would be there hugging us and, you know, telling us to, you know, fuck them, you're great. And then they started going out and saying, you know, basically, based not this isn't verbatim, but be nice to the Go-Go's. Be nice to the girls when they come out.
That's
so
cool.
They were given their marching orders. You know, if you get the fuck out if you're not going to do the right thing.
I mean, I would imagine that something like that would never fucking happen today. Where you just hear a band and you're like, I like these guys. Let me bring them out on the road. That's not going to fucking happen.
Yeah, isn't that cool? I mean, cheesy peasy.
Yeah, it's
things
wild.
Are much different now. Now it's strictly money.
Yeah, not only money. It's strictly. Like how many, but money in any sense is meaning like how big are they? Are they going to help bring in younger kids? Whatever the fuck. It's
Yeah,
wild.
How many followers and all that. Which
and
is,
I love that when you guys were your first female band ever to go to number one that you know played their own instruments and wrote their own music. Do you know who the second one was? Which is pretty wild. How long it took?
To go to number one album?
Yeah. All women that play their own instruments and write their own songs. You guys did in 81, right? How long did it take for the next one?
Bangles?
Bangles hit number two.
No, I don't think they... Well, was it one that did they write their own song?
No, I don't know if they wrote their own songs either. Yeah. Prince wrote their biggest hits. But you know who it is? It's crazy. It's 99, the Dixie Chicks.
Get out of here.
That was the second time it happened. That's crazy.
Really?
Almost 20 years later. That's nuts.
That is... utterly insane.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. Take that long.
The chicks.
Hear these kind of statistics all the time.
Yeah, it's
about
right.
Women in the business. And
it's got to drive you crazy to always be looked at as women in the business as opposed to just being in the business.
Yeah, because we never thought of it in those terms. We were just...
a rock band.
Yeah, we were doing what we love to do. We were having fun.
Yeah.
People were reacting in a really positive way for the most part. And, you know, couldn't have been better. So... gender never came into the picture.
Right.
And I can, you know what, when I was a kid and I would go to see bands, it never for once crossed my mind, that's a band of guys. I never thought about that.
Right.
I just, because like, close your eyes, it's the fucking music. It's
what's weird, in certain genres, I don't think it matters as much. I would say pop, no one gives a shit if it's a man or a woman, right? In rap, I don't think it matters as much. For some reason, rock music, people care. And I don't know why they care.
And there's so many badass, like, female, insanity. It's
Lizzie,
utterly insane.
We had Lizzie Hale on. She's the fucking hailstorm. She's the fucking most badass chick out there.
Right.
But, I mean, what I also don't like is generally, they also group girl bands together with other girl bands. Like,
have no sound.
You know, just kind of like, so one of my very good friends is the singer of Living Color, right? Corey Glover.
Awesome. Yeah.
They're black guys, right?
Yeah, of course.
They're only going out on tours always with black guys. That was always the fucking thing.
Yeah.
And at one point, it was like 15 years ago now, Corey actually asked me if I'd be interested in managing them. And I said, well, rule number one would be you're never going out on a bill with just black guys just because they're black guys. It makes no fucking sense.
Peasy.
I want to put you out with bands that go along with your music.
Yeah. I mean, that seems to only make sense. I do get it, but that's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it is really annoying.
That's ridiculous.
It's where comedy's kind of like that, too. A lot of my friends who are female, everyone wants to ask them about other women. Like, just
right.
Like,
women in
like
comedy.
It's a subgenre.
Yeah.
It's like,
Jessica's
funny. Jessica's a great comic. Like, just treat her as a comic. She's
all
one of
the time.
Us. It's insane to me.
One of the questions that we'd always get, we were like, oh, fuck, not again. What's it feel like to be a woman in rock and we're like, oh,
or do you have male groupies like the standard fucking hacky line?
Like, oh my God.
I forgot who said it. I think it's Morgan Freeman or maybe it was Samuel Jackson, one of them that said, but he doesn't want to have Black History Month. And they said, why? He was like, well, it's just history. By saying it's Black History Month, you're segmenting it. Just say it's part of fucking history. The Go-Go's are just a fucking great rock band. They're not a great chick rock band.
Yeah,
they're just a great fucking rock band. It's so stupid.
I think they have to have categorize the people and music and things because it makes it easier for them to understand or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or maybe to package it or to
spawn
it.
Excuse me. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
to
sense.
Package it. Yeah.
But the other thing that I liked, which feels so Sting, that when you guys went to number one while on tour with Sting, surpassing their record, instead of being pissed, he brought you guys champagne.
Yeah.
That just seems so...
The three, Stuart, Sting, and Andy, they did all come in the dressing room... with champagne and flowers, and it was very, very sweet.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're
as opposed to when
they're classy, man.
Was it Aerosmith and when it was the Guns Roses on tour with Aerosmith, and when Guns got bigger than
them,
isn't
that crazy? Like
they got
six
really
shows
pissed
in.
Off. Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah. Because Guns got the Billboard cover over Aerosmith, and it caused a lot of friction on that tour.
No, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh. I want to hear more.
Yeah. Apparently, Steven knows you. You should ask him. He'll tell you.
No, I don't know him, but I've just met him. I mean, yeah. And you know what? I met Steven Tyler when I was 13.
Wow.
And then again when I was 15.
Going to see shows.
Yep. When they played at the Baltimore Civic Center.
They're a Baltimore band.
They're from Boston.
Oh, Boston.
Yeah,
sorry.
I saw them when they first came there. And, of course, I found that from these groupies, you know, because I was a kid. I kind of knew what was going on. But anyway, I knew that every band that would play at the Civic Center, the Holiday Inn was across the street. So they'd always stay there, right? Or they'd be at the Hilton, but mostly at the Holiday Inn. And so I found out what the tricks were to get in to meet them. And what you would do is you'd go up, you know, because they had guys out front and you couldn't get in. You'd go around back to the service elevator. And you'd go up to a floor, whatever floor. You get off, get on the phone, and ask to be connected to either the drummer or the bass player, because they were usually the only two people in the band.
Use
that
the
would
real
give
name.
The real name.
That's funny.
So yeah, then I'd find that out. Okay, then I would rap on the door, and they'd open it up, and I'm a kid. Hey, can I take your picture? 9 out of 10 times they said yeah, and then I'd say, oh, you know, what room is such as the, and of course, probably to piss off their other bandmate, they'd give me their room number.
Hilarious.
And then I'd go rap on their door. Well, I wound up getting photos of a bunch of my idols.
That's
back
then.
I mean,
great.
Yeah. And Aerosmith was
It's also
one of
what's so great about it, so evident with the band and the music. You guys live and breathe music. It's fucking cool as shit. And it really.
Well, I can say I do for sure. Yeah, and yeah. I know Kathy does. You know, I mean, Kathy has wanted to be all she ever wanted to be. Well, her book is fantastic, by the way.
Well, it's funny that three of you have written books.
Yeah.
Right. And I've obviously listened to yours.
Yeah, but two of us have really written books.
Oh, so one of your.
Yo, Gina goes hard in the paint, dog. Goes hard in the paint. I love it.
All right. Before we go any further, the magic words you all know and love: $60 kilos, the unattainable number that no one in the world of Kratom was able to accomplish. Until Yo Kratom came along, I will say this, everybody. For years, entrepreneurs, scientists, academics, and all tried to solve the $60 kilo problem. Let's just cut to the chase. If you want high-quality Kratom, you go to YoKratom.com. If you want to buy it in cool $60 kilo format, the only way to do that is YoKratom.com. Unique strains, unique blends, all high-quality, all shipped quick. That's all that fucking matters. And you know you're going to be stuck with that cool number of a $60 kilo. So just go to YoKratom.com. As Yo Kratom begins their third year of sponsoring this show, support the sponsors that support the SDR show. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Let's get back into it.
Oh, wow.
Also, what was fascinating to me, in the famous first Go-Go's record, the cover of the towels.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Because you guys didn't have money, you returned the towels to Macy's.
Yeah.
That's a fucking great story.
That's true. We were so poor, you guys. And when we were on tour in England, we'd get up in the morning and go and steal milk off people's steps.
Oh, yeah.
And it's true. You know, we didn't have, I mean, thank God we were on those tours because we got to eat regularly.
Right.
You know, I mean, our lunch would be, you know, buying a candy bar or something and we'd get high on cough syrup. And, you know, I mean, we were living on £2.50 a day.
Wow.
Okay. So at the time, that was equivalent to $5.
What about transportation?
The transportation, we'd either take the tube or if it was a gig, then that would be taken care of. So we'd have a ride.
And I'm not to get too inside baseball, but would they provide the back line and everything, or you had to bring everything on your own?
Oh, let me think. Jesus. Ooh.
Ralph, you're really good.
I'm just curious.
You should be on 60. I say it every time.
Well, I would say for sure that Charlotte, Jane, and Kathy brought their instruments with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what? We probably used rented kits because it would have cost too much to ship it.
Right.
But back then, we were the airline that we used was, which is no more, Freddie Laker.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was the cheapest.
Before my time, Laker Airlines.
Laker Airlines. It was the cheapest airline. And so I remember the first time getting on a flight, we were all in the back row, all fucked up. Carrying on and screaming and then the crew were there. I mean, we were outrageous.
I went
in the best possible way.
I went to the museum. It's called the Museum of Failures.
I read about this.
I want to go to this. And they had Hooters Airline there as one of the biggest failures of all time. Which is
Hooters Airline?
Yeah, it was like it only went to like a golf course, and there'd be all the girls that were the stewardesses. And it lasted like 6 months. But it has Crystal Pepsi in there. Coke,
yeah, I'm going to go.
Like, it was worth seeing.
It's going to be a fun time.
It was fun to see.
Oh, my God.
Let me ask this, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
So in those 2 years, was it weird when you come back to L.A., you're playing like arenas and that with the police, you get to number one, and then you can go to arenas. When you come back to like the punk scene, were people chill with you, or was it weird because like they came up with like the Germs and they play with the Weirdos and all and X and all these badass bands.
And then it's almost like sacrilege when you make it big.
And you jump levels.
Yeah.
Because those are all bands I love. People shit on the LA punk out here in New York. They're great bands.
Folks weren't that happy about us making it, and we were a little bit of a sellout.
And did you lose friends?
No. I think we didn't talk about it.
Because you also said in the book, which, you know, it's funny, not to keep, I'm name dropping a lot, so I apologize. But CC DeVille Poison said the same thing, which is all Poison hits are slowed down punk songs.
Oh, man.
And your guys, the same thing. They slowed down
That's
your
what
songs
Richard
and made them
did.
Hits.
Yeah, the first thing he said to me, slow everything down so I can really appreciate the melodies and I can understand what Belinda's saying. I can't understand the words. It's too fast, you know?
Right.
I think the first time I played with the band, we had to play like a 45 or 50 minute set, and I was done in a half an hour. I mean, I was playing really fast.
That's awesome.
Well, that's the old punk, but that's like the Ramones, right? They would play three records in 25 minutes.
Yeah. Oh my God, awesome. I saw them so many times.
The best.
Wow.
That's cool.
Wow.
And your book, even though I didn't look at it, I listened to it. It's told in a very unique way in that you're getting the same story from different perspectives.
So,
which is an interesting way to hear. Like, you'll hear a story about something that happened on a plane or a trip or a show. She'll tell her version, and then it'll be a version of Jane or Stu or one of Copeland, I think, was in it. And so you have all these different perspectives.
No, Dave Stewart.
Dave Stewart, sorry. And also the Steve, there's a passage with Steve in there, too. Like, there's just little. And so you're hearing, like, each person's perspective of the same moment in time, which is kind of fascinating.
Like, and Dave Stewart about our corner cleaners.
Yeah, also loved hearing the story of
Pee-wee
Herman was a great story. Pee-wee died, apparently, opening for them. Nobody who knew who he was yet.
Yeah.
And Steve Martin, Steve Martin, brought him to the venue, and Pee-wee went out and just, it did not go well.
They didn't get him.
Well, that always happens with comedians.
Yeah, and he was brilliant, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, doing his shtick, he was. We loved him. We thought he was incredible. The audience didn't like boo him or anything, but they didn't know what to make of him. You know,
I loved him from the get go.
Sure. Of course.
But there's that story of Kurt forcing Bobcat to open for Nirvana, and he would just get his teeth knocked the fuck out.
I bet.
And it got to the point where Kurt would have to drag him on. And be like, yeah, I just love you, and I love seeing you deal with that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Bobcat's leaving feeling less than human.
Yeah. Audiences can be really brutal if they're, you know, if they're not into you.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
And also, not to sound, it's the trope you hear over and over again, which back then is like, oh, this band can make us money, so let's tour album, let's just fucking keep going.
Of course.
And obviously, it built up tension because the band broke up, you know, relatively over almost as quickly as it started in a way, shape, or form. And you went on to do this thing called House of Shock, right? Never really came out, to my knowledge. I've heard songs on Spotify.
What do you mean? But it was on Capitol Records.
The what I'm talking about, sorry, the comedy album on that you guys talk about with what's his name? Vance DeGeneres, right?
Vance.
You guys he talks about it in the book that you wrote like a separate comedy record.
Well, not really, but kind of. We were talking about something like that. It was kind of the joke because we would make up all these songs and play them along with the songs from the House of Shock record.
Right. So you had a separate, he said it was, in the book he says, it's like almost like a separate album That you just
he's
never...
exaggerating a little okay. bit. Okay, okay he's definitely enough. Exaggerating, but yeah.
And by the way, those that don't know, Vance DeGeneres was the Daily Show correspondent of the first few seasons. That Vance DeGeneres,
yeah. And then his sister,
and his sister too.
Yeah. And that was wow. funny because like when we were making the record, she'd come down and that's hang cool. out, and that was when she was doing comedy clubs.
It's wild.
And one of my I just ran into Ellen at Harry Styles show a couple months ago in L.A. and I hadn't seen her in years and years and. I reminded her, you know, Ellen, do you remember when you'd come over to the house, you know, because she was like really trying to figure out L.A. and any advice she could get. So I would give her, you know, tell her what I knew about the business and who to deal with, what age and so forth. Mm-hmm. And she was like, Gina, do you think like if I ever get like make some money, would you sell me your house?
Ha! Wow.
Ba-da-bop, ba-da-bop. And I was like, Ellen, you could buy the fucking block.
That's wild.
And you could buy like. a lot of real estate in Studio City these days. But yeah, it was really nice seeing her, and she's a doll. She was sweet.
That's really cool. And then also, I don't know if this is true or not, but if
and
it
Vance,
is,
I ran into him too.
If this is true, it's cool. Briefly, in 85, you were the drummer for A-ha on a few live performances, or is that not
that
true?
That was for TV.
Oh, for TV.
That was all TV stuff. Who was his name? Jeff? He was the head of A&R at A&M, and he called me up and said, hey, there's this band called A-ha. They're coming over. How do you feel about, you know, would you be interested? And that's when Take On Me was just coming out. Mm-hmm. And I was, of course I will. So I just did their TV appearances.
The TV appearances.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
And so the years, a few years, it's 5 years originally you guys break up. And hilariously or interestingly, Jane Fonda brings you guys back together.
Yes,
right?
That's true.
For a, for was it for a... environment? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was. Wanted to get this environmental initiative put on the ballot in L.A. And, you know, we were trying to bring as much attention to this as we could. So we hadn't seen each other, but we were kind of like making phone calls here and there, but not as a band.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally we get a call from, I think Ron, Belinda's manager at the time, got a hold of all this. It was Gold Mountain. And, you know, she wants to meet you guys. Are you interested? And we all said, yes, of course. And so we went to her house in Santa Monica, and she is so fucking cool. She is everything you think she is, and then some.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I loved her. Man, the minute we walked in her house, she had in the hallway was nothing. There was tons of photos of her and her family. I was like, she's pretty cool. Like, she's about the right things. Mm-hmm. And
not just like
I love their politics. I've always been on her side. What can I say?
Right.
You know.
That's fair, yeah.
And so because of her, we started talking, and we did a show. And after that show, we started touring again.
That's cool. So she brought you guys back together.
She definitely did because we started playing together, and it was like, oh man, this feels good.
Was there any since that time, 1990? Have you guys basically been the Go-Go's, or was there
absolutely
some, no time off, no breakup since then?
No breakup since then. We've said
you've taken breaks or something.
Yeah, we take breaks because everybody's different. Busy. They'll do their different things, right? You know, and so it's all the Go-Go's have not broken up during this period of time, but taken time off to do various things because. We can afford to.
And had you did that in 85, maybe you wouldn't have broken up, right? Had you guys said, hey, we need a year off.
If we would have had the right people guiding us that would have come to us and said, hey, guys, you really need to stop for a while and get your shit together, things would have been different.
Right.
I think so. But it didn't. That didn't happen. And, it worked out the way it did.
Another tidbit, by the way, that I think it's another feather in the Go-Go's cap. First cassette single ever, Vacation.
Get out of here.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Can I tell you, it's probably my favorite song ever.
Uh-huh.
Listen to that song.
I wish Kathy was
so
here.
So many times, sometimes drunk at 3 a.m. thinking of a certain girl. I'll leave it like that. And it was shocking to me a couple years ago when I got my year end from Spotify and it said Vacation number one. I go, it makes sense. Initially, I mean, I thought it would be something like else, but it was, I'm like, oh yeah, I've listened to this a lot. It's the best.
Because it's all you ever wanted.
It's all I ever wanted.
Hey, guys.
I love it.
How lucky am I? My God. Jeez.
And the band is so goddamn good. I was screaming at everyone Wednesday night how much, how excited I was to meet you and how much I love your band.
Oh, my God. I'm going to tell you something.
Unbelievable.
I am realizing right now how good the band is and how great the songs are. And the reason that this is all happening, washing over me at this particular time in my life is because I'm in the middle of doing, you know, I have my book out. So I'm going to go out and I'm doing a couple shows, and I'm going to do a show at the Hard Rock in Baltimore on the 14th of April, mm-hmm. and then the 22nd of April, I'm playing at Stone Pony. And what That's I'm doing, cool. it's like a three-hour thing. I'm going to come in and do a book signing. Then I'm going to do like in conversation with and questions and shit from the yeah. audience. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to play like 10 or 12 songs. So I got my band, House of Shock. Vance isn't in it, but I put House of Shock back together.
Okay.
And we are doing, you know, obviously we're going to do a go-go songs. And working with these, I mean, top-notch musicians that I'm working with, going through these songs, tearing them apart, putting them back together. And, you know, these guys are like, Gina, wow, this stuff is brilliant. Do you realize how smart this section is? What a great arrangement this was. I'm like, geez, it was kind of great.
That's wild.
And I always took it all for granted. It's like, oh, this stuff's so easy. Oh, my God, I could play this in a coma. Oh, these songs are so simple. Oh, you know, it's like bullshit. They're actually pretty fucking brilliant. And I'm really feeling that from these guys that are like these
right.
badass musicians. You know, it's really... Wow, I can't believe it, but it's great stuff.
I mean, it is fucking amazing stuff.
Yeah. It is, and in the documentary, they talk about how, like, Our Lips Are Sealed, that Jane wrote, what was it, Uncharacteristic? It was a different way, but, like, even
That's
Vacation.
Because she don't know, because she didn't know any better. Like,
right,
we
didn't know any better.
Yeah,
right.
Well, none of us knew any better. We just did, you know, we just did the way we knew how to do things. Nobody showed us.
It's so great.
And then I'm mad because I wrote it down. I know where it is, but you also wrote hits for other people recently, right?
Well, no, that was a while ago. I wrote for Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus,
Gomez.
That's who it was.
Yeah.
That's Selena Gomez. So, I mean, that's crazy because you were not a writer. You didn't write in the beginning.
Not much, yeah. you know. But I started to write. I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a producer. All the things I wanted to be, I have done, and there's right. still more to do. It's like if you just. I don't know. I just feel like anything you really want, if you focus and you really go for it, it can happen.
It's what's also interesting.
Nothing is really beyond your reach if you really.
Well, if you heard me sing, you know I can't be a singer.
I still got faith in you, Ralph. I really think you're gonna hit that note eventually.
It doesn't matter. Bob Dylan can't sing, but well, you know what I mean. Come on, what's it about?
And that, no, I can't sing at all. I don't even have a desire to sing. Just like I've been asked a few times if I ever would do stand up comedy. I have zero desire to do stand up comedy.
I'll give you my spots.
I just don't want to do it. If I found out, I could be great, I don't want to do it. Like, I have no interest in going.
Well, you got to want to do whatever.
Really
you,
want
I mean, you have
it.
To
yeah.
want it, and you have to put some time
yeah,
into it.
That's the part
it.
You lose me on.
Yeah, that makes all the difference.
Yeah,
Ralph.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and this, it is a touchy subject, but you and Kathy, you know, I always look at it, and I look the same way as like Tommy Lee and Nikki Sixx. Like, the bass player and the drummer always have like a fucking connection.
You
right?
got you got.
You're
have
holding
that.
The band down.
You
got to
have
right?
that. You're the foundation. You
and
keep,
even
gotta
in watching the doc, it does seem like you. It was like you two and the other band. Like that was like almost like you'd go off on your own a lot. Is that was? Am
well,
I right?
We would. Well, I think Kathy and I were more serious about our musicianship and even songwriting. Yeah. I mean, Kathy had played in bands. I had played in bands. When we went right. to LA, and the other girls were just, well, Charlotte did play in a band called The Eyes, but she played bass. She was messing around and, you know, but it was all kind of new to her too. And certainly Jane and Belinda. But we came from a place of playing, you know, several sets every night, playing in bar bands, that sort of thing. And when we came to the Go-Go's, we had already put some time into
right.
it.
You already were.
Yeah. You know, not we weren't great, but we were better than the other girls because they were just picking right. their instruments up and just, you know, having fun.
Yeah,
and that's
so fucking cool.
I love how I'm honestly, guys, what the girls injected into my whole groove was I was so grateful for
yeah,
that.
And also, I think they taught you how to have fun.
Yeah,
and,
man.
And yeah, it's
yeah.
pretty wild. Yeah, it's really cool. And also, at that time, early 80s, later, you know, the fact that like, Belushi's a part of your world.
Oh,
you know?
He was
and
such an angel.
He wants you like that. All that like because comedy was blossoming. SNL was just new. Like all of this was all happening. At
That's
the same
when
time.
SNL and when you did SNL, you know that was for us. Then the yeah, record went number
went one
in a couple weeks. Like that. I mean, I remember waiting like I used to when Ed Sullivan was on. Like as for kids, who's right. the musical guest? That's the way Saturday Night Live was. You know,
yeah.
and so it was. We were so excited to do that, and we were on tour with the Police, so we took off time to do the show. We went back out like, and then it went past a million, and it was all happening, guys. That show made a big difference,
yeah.
as did us opening for the Police.
Right, of course.
We go from clubs to 20,000 seaters. big difference. Miles Copeland, woo, yay.
All right, before we go any further, this is a brand new sponsor for the SDR Show. You know how I always love to say, support the sponsors that support the show, but this is just a fun, silly thing to do to kill time online, and you could win money. It's an online social casino that allows you to play completely risk-free and attempt to win some actual money at stake.us. Stake.us usually does not offer sign-up bonuses, but we were able to unlock a 5% rakeback rate if you use the rakeback code SDR on your first deposit. Our code SDR is not the only way to get free plays, and players can easily sign up and get daily login bonuses and promotions to help them boost their gold coins and stake coin pots. It's all for gambling, I'm assuming. I don't know. What do I know? Stake.us provides players with an immersive gaming experience, lots of in-house titles, and dedicated forums to help keep things social and so much more. Games like Blackjack, Plinko, Dice, Baccarat, Video Poker, all there just to name a few. And remember, our rakeback code is SDR and not the only way to get any sort of bonuses. Play with both gold coins and stake cash immediately without any form of payment. Stake.us is legal to all U.S. residents, excluding those in Idaho, Nevada, New York, and Washington. Sign up using the code SDR to unlock a 5% rakeback. That's promo code SDR for 5% rakeback at stake.us. Let's get back into it. And was it last year or the year before you guys released an 82 live record from, I don't know, that like whatever you found was Live in Japan 1982 was released as a Go-Go's record.
I heard somebody show me that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, my guy, Wendell, my partner, he was like, Gina, did you see this? And I was like, I didn't know that. I bet you the girls in the band don't know it.
Oh, really? Oh, that's funny. No. Somebody released it.
Wow. Somebody did. I don't know what the hell that's about, but I think we need to figure that out.
Just like
out.
When I was walking in, I asked her if she ever heard there's a book called Murder a Go-Go, and it's a crime novel based around the music of the Go-Go's.
Well, Jane, you said Jane,
Jane
did
the forward.
Jane
wrote the forward. So I mean, I know that there was the musical that was a Head Over Heels a couple years ago, right? That you guys were part of, obviously.
That
right?
was really, that was great. That yeah. It's playing all over.
And now it's
over.
Everywhere.
It's yeah. everywhere, yeah.
But this is, it's a crime novel. I don't know what that means. It just said crime novel based on the music of the Go-Go's. That's all I know. I don't know anything else. I just was,
jeez, I want to. Okay. I'm gonna look that one up. And see
well,
what's
I guess
going
I'm running
on.
The Barnes and Noble in between this and my spots tonight.
Right. By the way, I keep saying the Shannon. Do you have in front of you the book? The TV show I said everyone has to watch. What is it? Fuck. I know it's on. It's the craziest show.
What?
Shannon. It's got a weird name. It's like what Shannon. What's the name?
The name.
Something
is...
T. Goldman.
What?
Oh boy, it's I'm like to it's find like it's Paul T. Goldman.
Paul T. Goldman. I'm not promoting it. Has nothing to do with this show right now. I'm just telling you, it's a 6-episode. You know, it's a closed story. It's not like it's going to be another season.
Yeah.
It's like sort of like a documentary.
Oh,
it is okay. Fucking
what is it
crazy.
About? What? Yeah,
well, it took 10 years to make.
Yes.
Okay. The basic story is this: a guy gets married and finds out that his wife is stealing money from him. Right. And decides to look into why and what she's doing. Mm. And it's part scripted, part documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking batshit crazy. I never do this. I sat and watched all 6 episodes.
Yeah, that happens
straight.
when you
never
get
done it before.
Yeah.
Netflix?
Yeah.
It's on Peacock. But I'm just going
to
say.
Peacock.
Yeah, it's
Peacock.
The NBC one. But
maybe
it's,
I don't
it's
know
free.
If I have
it's free to watch it.
Okay.
It's hard to go off time when you just said, because it's just a. It made me think
of
it.
You need to write it down so don't forget.
I didn't know where you're going
to
go. I'm like, is he going to say Wednesday? What's he going to say? Is that the show? Which is spectacular. Cramps.
Because of the crime novel, it made me think of it. It's just a bizarre set of circumstances. Anyway, sorry about
that. I'm interested.
Okay. So then what was also nice is you guys got the Walk of Fame now 10 years ago.
Yeah.
12 years ago.
Or whatever.
But you put it right in front of where you guys used to rehearse.
Yeah, the Pussycat Theater. Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
Downstairs, the hellhole. The Mask, where we used to rehearse, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Many parties down there, lots of carryings on, and just great stuff. Too bad there wasn't a camera recording at all.
But you did take a shit ton of pictures. That's nice.
I did take a ton of pictures, guys. And so, and a lot of.
It's in the book that I listened to that I couldn't see.
And there's also photos in there that other folks took.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I wanted to make the pictures as complete as I could to tell the story of, like, my life and then the Go-Go's and present day. I think I did a good job. I'm very proud of
it. I enjoyed listening to it, and I mean, but I didn't see the book, so I just listened to the book, but I did enjoy the stories.
I thought people would like want to hear it to laugh at my accent.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun to hear.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And also, by the way, the documentary is great. If you haven't seen the
documentary. I love the documentary. It's so fantastic. It's like, if you see the documentary and you get my book and you get Kathy's book, you got a pretty good picture of the insanity and
fuck that other girl's book.
So fun, so much fun, and just
two of us actually wrote it.
Sorry,
I love it. What shade? I love it.
Well, I'm just telling the truth. I keep forgetting about Belinda's book, but I don't feel like it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know who hasn't been to rehab. Fuck it. I don't. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I haven't gone yet. So
no,
well,
just,
where
I'm
I go?
I'm just saying. Right. I don't know. I guess I'm just going to stay away from that. I love Belinda. I really do. But
she is so good as a front
some
person.
Some of the choices that we all make. You know, you just have to sit back and watch it happen.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Can I say this? Because, like, Belinda has, like, that pop career with Heaven's a Place on Earth.
Yeah.
I think people forget. And when I was watching the documentary again, and I watched clips of you guys live, because I love Vacation, I want to cry more. I'm like, the video on the skis, first of all, is spectacular. But then I watched live version. There's so much footage. People forget Belinda was a punk. And the way she worked the room as a front person, she's second to none. Like, she really needs to be in the conversation more when people bring up, like, Bon Scott and Freddie. She's one of the greatest punk people ever.
My heart is heavy with where her career is going now, I got to tell you. I love her, but I she's doing, I guess, what she wants to do right now with this record, but.
I don't even know. She has a new record? I don't even know.
She's got a record out called Kismet, and Diane Warren wrote all the songs.
Wait, okay. Kismet? Didn't you just use Kismet?
No.
In a sense?
Did I? I don't think so.
In the beginning of the show?
Oh, okay. There we go.
And
That's why I'm promoting her album.
I'd like to be a fan of it, but I'm not. And I would tell Belinda if I saw her right now. I wish she hadn't gone that way.
It's very, if it's Diane Warren, it's super poppy, super mainstream.
Oh, I forgot. Whatever. It's like
Gina's the greatest guest we've ever had.
No, you know what? She writes she writes hit songs, no doubt. But and I think she's fantastic what she does. It's just not my cup of tea.
Right, I gotcha. That leads to the last Go-Go's record. God bless the Go-Go's is almost 10 years ago.
Love that record so much.
And so much so that the first track on your playlist, if you go to the Go-Go's website, they each have a playlist. Your first track is the one I think that was co-written by Billy Joe Armstrong, right?
Unforgiven.
Yeah, that's cool. But it's been so long, and now you're saying Belinda's heart is going in a different direction.
Yeah, but she's done that.
Can you guys get together and write a book?
She's done that before.
I mean, write a new album?
Everybody's done things before,
right.
You know? And I guess this is unbeknownst. I didn't know this, but somebody told me that she is saying in interviews that the band is done with.
Oh really?
Yeah, that it felt it felt like a dream, and poof, it was gone.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
But I just feel like, when we all look back, I feel like the name that's going to resurface will be the Go-Go's, and not Belinda Carlisle, and not Gina Schock, and not Jane Weed, and not Kathy, and not. People care about the Go-Go's. Let's be real.
When was the last Go-Go's show? As the Go-Go.
I haven't played in a couple of years because I had to have neck surgery, and then I had to have surgery on my thumb. So it's been the last time I played was when we did the when the musical came out on Broadway here. We did a show. We did a show
here in New York City.
In New York City, and played like 8 songs or something.
Okay, to like honor the release of the musical.
Yes,
okay.
yes, and then I couldn't play for the last. Anyway, COVID messed things up, and we had 2 years went by that we had stuff planned.
Yeah, because 2022 would have been 40 years, right?
Yeah,
is that right?
I mean, it's really a drag. And then probably Belinda got off into another place.
Pop place.
Yeah, but
Heaven is the place you got.
I don't know.
Are we doing this now? Are we doing this?
No, you know what? I don't want to. I don't want to be putting anybody down, honestly. But I'm kind of can be very brutally honest and. I just, I wish that she had that kind of enthusiasm and to come back to the band.
Right,
and perhaps she will.
Wouldn't, if my math is right, next year would be 45 year anniversary of the Go-Go, 79
79.
To 24, right? That's 2024.
That's accurate, man.
But you never know because,
I mean, that makes sense to
me. Well, I have a suggestion.
Everybody goes out and does things. It's not just Belinda, okay?
Of course.
I'm not laying it all on her, but. But then we'll get offers to do shows and it'll be great. And like, come on, it's stupid not to do this.
Right.
But I'm just speaking for myself, okay? Sure. I would love to be doing go-go shows 24 hours a day because I love playing. I love the band. I love the music. I love my part in the band. Right. And I wish it was happening more, but I'm only one person. Yeah. And so you know what? I can do what I love to do, and that's talk about my book, play my drums, go out and do my songs, do my thing. And I love that. But I love the go-go's as well. So there you go.
Oh, Shannon just raised your hand. Yes, Shannon.
I found a couple of quotes from an article where Belinda was interviewed about 5 months ago.
Uh-huh.
One part says, following the Allison Elwood directed documentary, blah, blah, blah. It says, Carlisle says the chain of events over the past few years is a perfect close for the band if it is their end. And then she adds, the Go-Go's are definitely winding down now. And I think that has definitely cemented the legacy of the band. We all have our lives going on in different things. So I don't know if we'll ever really do anything again. But if it ended there, that's just amazing.
All right, so it's kind of an open-ended potential ending.
Yes, it always is because
it's also probably stupid money.
No,
so.
I think it's ridiculous to ever say, why say, we all discussed when we were all going to go do things, right?
Right.
Okay. And we said, let's not say that the band is broken up, because every time that anybody has ever thought it was broken up, we never were.
Right.
So don't shut up. And Belinda said that, and I could kill her.
Well, here's my idea, Gina.
What?
If Belinda doesn't come back, you've encouraged Ralph. Right. I think he's going to start singing. What if Ralph? Can you imagine
me
Ralph?
Doing vacation?
Come on. Yeah. This town is come on, Ralph. You could hit that shit. That would be spectacular.
What I really
no
like,
one would see that coming, Gina.
No,
nobody.
I know.
Nobody would see it coming because nobody would be there for the show.
Oh, front row, baby.
Yeah. Kathy's intro to your book, right?
Oh, man.
It shows so much that she understands your passion for playing in the Go-Go's just by the way she describes your drum kit.
That was so kind of her. It's a great intro. I was sort of choked up when I read that, actually.
Yeah.
But I feel that way about Kathy because I know how passionate she is about what she does.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I'm not the best at what I do, but I fucking love it and I put everything behind it. She's the same way. You just do what you do. Yeah. Like all this controversy about Meg White lately about, she's not, did you know about that?
No. It's insane, these idiots. I think she's
Ralph,
wonderful.
What the fuck?
I missed this.
No, there became like someone talked shit online, like on Twitter.
Yeah,
and then
this
a bunch
journalist
of people
said, White Stripes' first record would have been brilliant if it wasn't for like the drummer. The,
really? I
yeah,
didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I think she's great. And
she's
I read a comment years ago when they opened for the Rolling Stones. Charlie White, who rest in peace, is a legendary grump, would show up early to watch them and loved her. If Charlie Watt, who was to me the
Watts,
first he was White, then he's
why
Watt.
Am I screwing up names?
I don't know, hon.
Charlie Wheat. Let's talk about Charlie.
Let's talk
Wheat.
About Charlie Whitebone. All right, let's go.
By the way, you lose all your credibility for liking the guy when you call him Charlie Weasel or whatever you call it.
Guys, I've had eight cashews today.
Okay,
I'm really struggling. What do you want? I got to cut weight for Nashville.
Go, baby,
it's a wildlife.
Go, baby, go.
And also, by the way, even if it was going to be the unfortunate end, there should be a farewell tour or something, right? That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, man, I don't know, baby. I don't know what to tell you. I certainly hope we do more shows because, like I said, my heart is with the band, always will be. And you know what? Like I said in my book, we are a family and we fight and carry on. But at the end of the day, I would defend those girls. If somebody says something shitty, I'm the first one to say, fuck you, shut up.
Yeah,
talk about fucking Meg White, how dare they say that her drumming is shitty? Her drumming is perfect, 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 perfect for White Stripes. That is what she does is exactly what is required for those songs.
I've actually never heard a White Stripes song that I didn't like.
Yeah,
every song.
It's minimalist, it's basic, it's smart.
Yeah.
It's what it should be. So, and I think like it's some journalist saying, you know, what did he know?
One of the best live shows I've ever seen.
I never saw them live.
They're fantastic.
Do you try and keep up with new rock and roll at all or not?
Yes.
Really? You do any new bands that you dig?
Well, I really am into this band called Glass Animals.
Oh, I know them. Yeah, they're cool.
Oh, God, I love them.
Yeah, they're cool. There was this, I can't think of the name. Shannon, you're not going to know it, but I'm going to ask you anyway. When Lizzie Hale was on, she donated her guitar to these three metal sisters.
Oh, yeah.
And they're fucking badass rock band.
I want to know. The Warning?
That's it.
They're from Mexico. Yeah, I know about them. Sure.
They are fucking awesome.
And you know about the Linda Lindas?
No.
They will be the next Go-Go's. The Linda Lindas,
they're great.
I'm making a prediction. I've said it many, many times. Our band, the Go-Go's, we have talked about this over and over. Where's the next Go-Go's?
Okay, the Donnas were close. I think the Donnas were pretty close.
But no cigars. So yeah. I'm saying, you know, I'm predicting that the Linda Lindas, if they can keep it together, and I believe they will be the next Go-Go's because those girls are on track, man.
I never heard them.
So they're really good. They're really good.
Well, you need to get their record. They just did a cover of This Town. They play, I go sit in on
drums. I dig the Warning. I think the Warning was great.
Well, I think you need to dig the Linda Lindas. Check them out. Oh, my God. They're so good, guys. The drummer's 11. She's 12 now.
I'll also check out that drummer that he likes. What's his name? Charlie Pink? What's his name again?
I've been trying to find the right way to crowbar calling Meg White Meg Watts just for a full circle fuck up. What are you going to do?
Come on. It's okay.
Shannon, it's hard to believe this, but the hour's almost up. We got to do the first. So we didn't even tell her what that
mean?
Is.
I'm ready to go.
We're going to do it right now. Hit it, Shannon.
The first time.
What the hell is this?
Ever.
It's the best.
I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
I didn't get to tell you this beforehand, so this is going to be live on the air. Feel free to not answer, but I will tell you this.
I'm not going to answer. Go ahead.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. Mm-hmm. We've asked every guest this since the dawn of time.
Oh, my God.
Their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll. We know it from the book, but recant that story anyway. Your first concert you ever went to.
First concert. I was 11 years old. My brother took me to see Led Zeppelin opening for The Who at Meriwether Post Pavilion. The ticket was $350. It blew my mind, and from that moment on, I knew exactly what I wanted to do with the rest of my life as an 11-year-old.
Did you ever befriend anyone from Zeppelin?
No. I wish I had. I'd love to. Oh, man. Yeah. Right,
so I was somewhat friendly with Jason Bonham, but not...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Good dude.
Well, he's exactly like his dad. Yeah, he really plays exactly like his dad.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
He is his dad.
I remember I was in... I've been name-dropping a lot on this episode.
Good. It's okay. I mean, but, how can you not when you're talking to me?
I was in
I love it.
I was in a limo with him, and the band Wolf Mother had just broke.
I love it. Yeah. Okay.
And they came on, and he goes, "Oh, this reminds me of my dad's band." I'm like, if anyone else said that, you're like, "Shut the fuck up."
Yeah,
like,
right.
He's
right.
saying, "I'm like, oh shit, that's fucking cool. That's a good story."
Yeah. All
right, so now, the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
No, weed was my first drug. I was in eighth grade. How old does that make you?
12, 11, something like that?
Yeah, and I remember I was in Catholic school, and Denise Zemirowski's boyfriend, Drew Janiak, was kind of bad, and he was selling pot, and he would sell it in an envelope, and he'd put, it was a $5 bag, and he put a $5.50 on the front of it, right then on there. And I remember buying pot from him and going down Barbara Instone's basement and smoking that, and I was in the eighth grade, and that was my first experience.
And the first after weed?
What did I do after weed? I smoked hash oil.
Hash oil?
The oil. Yeah.
Okay.
Or if you're from Baltimore, it's hash oil. Hash oil.
How old were you?
Oh, that was later on.
Later on.
Yeah, like in, I don't know, probably 14.
I mean, openly also in the book, in the doc, drugs were a big part of the Go-Go's anyway,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I wasn't really, I didn't have a drug problem until the 90s. That's when I had my drug problem. But that's, in 2001, I took care of it.
And now the first time you had sex?
Oh, that was ugly. That was ugly. And I just wanted to try it, and it wasn't good. It was ugly.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
It was like, please, just get out.
Was it someone you were friends with?
It was a guy I knew, and he had a big crush on me, and I was a late bloomer. I was 20 or 21 or something around
there. Wow.
Yeah. I went to Catholic school, you know what I mean? I was like I was kind of a badass, but, you know, secretly afraid of everything, especially sex, because Catholic school fucks you up.
Right.
And I went to 12 years of Catholic school. Anyway, he would sit out in front of my house, and this is when I moved out of my parents' home, and I shouldn't be telling all this. What the fuck, you guys? Stop.
We're the best, Gina. We bring the best out of people.
Me.
This is what it is.
This is not fair.
This is rock and roll.
Anyway, and he would, and then one night I said, just come on in. And yeah, it happened, and it was like, oh God. But then that was the end of that, and then it was done, and that was that.
Right, you could check it off the list and move on.
Not good.
Well, I will say this, Gina. It is a fucking honor to have you on the show.
I mean, this is spectacular.
I know Official Go-Go's is the Instagram. Your book, which I can't say enough good things about. I really enjoyed it.
And listen, if you're in the neighborhood, come and see me at Stone Pony on
Stone Pony.
I think 22nd.
Yeah.
Let's see if I'm on
April,
the road the 22nd.
And then the 14th in Baltimore at the Hard Rock. And then I'm going to maybe start doing more shows because I'm really having fun doing this.
It's awesome. It's really cool.
And when the Go-Go's call, I'll be there. Yeah. I hope we can do that sometime
too. She's not busy having tea with Miss Warren. You know, you never know.
Yeah, I don't know. But, she'll come to her senses.
Yeah. James, your plugs?
The James Mattern on Instagram and YouTube. Check out the Check Spot. Me performing the worst part of the comedy show when everyone's paying their bills. I'll be announcing my next project soon. We're going to be recording it in the New York area in November. It's going to be real special. And I'm opening up for Chrissy D in Radio City. Come see that show if you can. Oh, I think it's sold out. Whatever. There'll be another one.
Hey,
Chris DiStefano.
Yeah.
By the way, because you, before I bring it to Shannon, because you did seem to be very involved with comedy back then, you loved Pee Wee Herman. You guys liked you were with Steve Martin and John Belushi. Do you keep up with comedy now or not really?
I do not.
Okay, fair
but
enough.
I have some great John Belushi stories.
Why don't you
the best.
Throw one out of
and
here.
And he loved punk rock, right?
Punk. John, I remember he said to us, first off, he said, look, I'm not here. I don't want to fuck anybody. I just love your band. I love what you're doing. I love your music. And I just want to hang out and be a part of what you guys are doing.
That's great.
And that's exactly what he did. We hung out. We went to a lot of clubs. We had a lot of fun with him. And he was one of the kindest souls I ever met. And, he got a little, let's face it, guys, the 80s was definitely the decade of excess.
Oh, yeah, decade
and
of excess.
When
sure.
you're, I know this, when you are happening in a big way, you feel like you're untouchable. You feel like you can do anything. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing can stop you. And John, that's the way he felt, and it did him in.
Right, of course.
But he was an angel. He was a really good guy. He was especially kind to my mom. He loved my mom.
That's so nice.
He was just a good fellow. It's such a shame.
Did you get to go to like a lot of SNL shows?
We go to the Blues Bar, and like when we played the Peppermint Lounge, John came out and introduced us, and we'd go to the Blues Bar and play was in town, have fun. I mean.
That's pretty awesome.
He was a really good guy.
Shannon, your plugs?
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is, Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. Guests come on and they tell their own personal experiences with their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
So don't say anything yet.
Okay.
The question is, does Gina Schock believe in ghosts? We're all going to take a guess, and then we'll see the answer. I give a 100% yes, and I'm curious what you say, James.
Look, in all transparency, I was going to probably go yes anyway, but I think I saw a tell as Shannon was saying it.
So
it's a clear yes. I can't put my thumb
Shannon,
far enough in the air.
What do you say?
Yes.
And the answer is, do you believe in ghosts?
Of course. Okay. How stupid not to.
Hey, good answer.
I mean, it's like, do you believe there's other intelligent life? Yeah. I mean, come on, in the universe. I mean, of course there is. We know that.
Yeah, obviously.
How ignorant not to think so.
I agree with you there.
That's all I can say.
That was the easiest one.
That was easy. Follow me everywhere at I Am
Wait,
Ralph.
I have one more thing
sure,
to say.
Sorry. Oh.
And I know this is going to sound crazy.
Oh, I can't
but I'm
wait.
Going to tell the truth because all my life, or certainly, yeah, a lot of my life, I've said, please, please, I want to see a UFO. Can something happen? Can something happen that before I close my eyes permanently, that I'm going to know that there's more going on than everyone suspects or even half believes?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that.
You did see one?
Yes, I saw several. And it's really wild because I saw them out my back door in San Francisco, and it was in the middle of the day. And, there were these really dark, dark clouds, very menacing dark clouds. Like it looked like they were frightening, right? And it was across the bay. It was like in Oakland. I'm in San Francisco. And between these dark clouds, there was a light space in there. Okay. And I saw these white things moving around, and it caught my attention. Then I turned around. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, what is going on? It looked like a Pac-Man game, you guys. They were white, brilliant white. And they were in formation, and they were doing this dance in between these dark clouds, right? And then one would go in the cloud, and then he would be gone. Another one, until all were going into this big dark cloud, and that had to be the mothership for sure. I swear to God, this happened. I saw it.
How long ago were we talking, by the way?
A couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
this fucking happened. I saw it with my own two eyes, and I had been hoping and praying that something like this would happen. It did happen to me. And it was just like a Pac-Man game, you guys.
Well, I think it's crazy to think we're alone. That doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense.
Utterly insane.
And these weren't drones. This was like, the light was brilliant and white, and it was a formation of sort.
Did you not think to grab a camera and film some of that shit?
No, I was screaming, UFOs, 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 hoping my neighbors. Well, one of my neighbors did run out and saw it. Okay. And so I do have another person that witnessed it.
Oh, that verifies it. That's cool.
Yeah. But it was like, oh my God, it happened. I saw it.
I think a next Go-Go song should be called UFOs, UFOs. That would be.
Perhaps.
That would be cool.
Perhaps.
She didn't take a picture, Ralph, because she was too busy online defending her favorite drummer, Meg Watts. Come on. I landed the fucking plane.
Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness called The Good Trigger Podcast comes out every Monday.
I want to know about that.
We'll tell you all about it. Our first location is opening a week from Tuesday. I was there yesterday doing tastings. And
I'll be there.
On the corner of 3rd Avenue 69th Street. When you hear this, we're all going to be in Jamaica for a week. When I come back, it will be fucking open. So we'll all go for some free food.
You didn't invite me to Jamaica.
You're more than welcome to come. I will. I already told you we're going for fancy pants dinners.
So. Oh, I love that.
All right. So we'll play because it's his favorite song.
Makes me fucking cry.
It
gets me emotional.
We'll add Vacation.
It's so goddamn good.
Gina Shock, thank you so much for coming to this video.
You guys. Hey.
And we'll see everyone next time on the SDR Show.
All right. Peace.
Listening to the SDR Show.